We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thanks, Dave, and welcome once again to Yesteryear. On today's edition, it's Jeff Regan Investigator, starring Jack Webb of radio and television's Dragnet fame. But first, let's enjoy a round or two at Duffy's Tavern. Duffy's Tavern, the eyesore of the East Side, as it was called, a New York saloon that served up terrible food and big-name celebrity guests. The saloon's low-life denizens hobnobbed each week with the biggest stars of Hollywood. Archie was the manager, portrayed by Ed Gardner, a former advertising executive who directed many of radio's top comedy programs. Eddie the waiter was portrayed by Eddie Green, a popular black vaudevillian who was also heard as Stonewall the lawyer on Amos and Andy. Duffy's Tavern aired from March 1941 through January of 1952. On today's program, we'll turn back the clock to April of 1946 with special guest Marie the Body McDonald by Vin Bogart. Archie attempts to court Marie McDonald by convincing the body that he is wealthy. So then, from April of 1946, it's Duffy's Tavern with Marie the Body McDonald on this edition of Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Burton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you leave me? Deed, Archie, the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Tonight, Marie McDonald, the body. Huh? Well, picture Mrs. Duffy. Now divide by four. Yeah. You ought to see this, McDonald, Duffy. A Sunday school face with a Saturday night figure. And the rest of the week ain't bad neither. Brother, you think them dishes in the kitchen is stacked. Great dame, Duffy. She's got a lot on the ball, too. Huh? You said that when you met Mrs. Duffy. Then you found out there was a chain attached to the ball, huh? Look, Duffy, you shouldn't want to talk like that behind your wife's back. Although I admit there's plenty of room for conversation. Yeah. Yeah, that's an insult. Okay. Goodbye. What are you laughing? What's so funny?
Mr. Moriarty just told me a very funny story. He said, it seems it was a traveling salesman.
Hold it, Eddie. I got to tell you something that I'm busting out all over. You know, Marie McDonald, the movie star?
Yeah.
We're in love.
Oh.
Now, what was that funny story you was going to tell me?
Never mind. It can't top yours. You mean to tell me that you're in love with another movie star?
Is that redundant? So what?
Well, the last time it was Esther Williams, and before that it was Jean Turner, and before her it was Dorothy L'Amour.
You finished?
No, I can go all the way back to Clara Bow.
But this time is different, Eddie. With me and Maria, love burns like hot ashes. You know, we was cremated for each other. She's really my type.
Yeah, I know your type. She's got to be a redhead, a blonde, or a brunette, be tall or short and must breathe.
Now, Eddie, this time it's different, you know? The minute I seen this Marie, I knew she held for me a fatal vaccination.
You mean fascination?
I mean vaccination. Such punkratude is like a shot in the arm.
Man, when did you first see her?
Last Saturday night. You see, I had just got me $15 paycheck, so being loaded, I go over to Lefty's Metropolitan Museum of Pool, see? Looking for a sucker, see? Well, so when I leave Lefty's, I decide to go to the movies with the 50 cents that I got left. So I go over to the Bijou and I plank down 2 bits for a ticket, and with the other 2 bits, I buy me customary 5 bags of popcorn.
5 bags?
Yeah. Well, to make a long story short, I get bored with the movies. You know, the first 3 features was lousy, and the fourth one was a Western that I had seen before, and suddenly the main feature comes on. Getting Gertie's Garter. And for the first time, I see this Marie McDonald. Eddie? I was so struck I couldn't touch that 5th bag of popcorn. What a dame. Ever since I seen her, she's got me walking around on a cloud.
But with a girl like that, Marie McDonald, that cloud better have a silver fox lining.
I see what you mean, Eddie, but the letter I wrote her covered that.
You mean you wrote that you was a millionaire?
Well, I was subtle about it. I just mentioned that I had a swimming pool, Cadillac, 3 suits.
Did you tell her about them oil wells of yours in Oklahoma?
Oh, I handled that very subtle, too. I just mentioned offhand that Grandmama was an Indian.
And I thought I was being fantastic.
Oh, fantastic is as fantastic does.
One day, 2 day, I catch you. The 2 day, 3 day, you catch me. The 3 day, 3 day, 3. Hey, Arch, what number comes after 3?
Tenzi.
Oh, thanks. 3 day, 10 day, let's be friends.
Finnegan,
I love it.
Look. What are you so happy about tonight?
Well, Arch, I heard you was in love again, and that makes me happy, too.
Oh.
So here, I brought you some roses to give to the dame.
Well, thanks, Finnegan, but maybe we better remove the rest in peace ribbon, though, huh?
Well, personally, I thought it gave it that little extra touch.
Well, another thing, Finnegan, not that I want to look a guy like you in the mouth, but... Them roses smell a little faded.
Well, freshen them up, Arch. Put on a little of that stinker of yours. That eau de violet.
Well, don't you think maybe the dame would suspect something?
So what? It ain't every day you run across roses that smell like violets. Who's your lucky dame this time, Arch?
Finnegan, this time I'm the lucky dame. I mean, I'm the lucky guy.
Well, make up your mind, Arch.
Well, anyhow, the lady in question happens to be Marie McDonald. The body, you know.
Oh. Well, Arch, we all gotta go sometime.
Finnegan, the dame is still alive, which is more than I can say for you.
Duffy, Archie.
Oh, hello, Miss Duffy.
I hear you're in love again.
Yep. It was love at first sight.
Love at first sight. Don't make me laugh.
If I was you, I'd believe in love at first sight. If a guy takes a second look, you're dead.
Oh, yeah? Well, I got everything that Marie McDonald has, and then some.
What a whale of a difference that then some makes.
Archie, I'll take that last remark with a dose of salt. I'd just like to know what Marie McDonald would want with you when she can go out with stars like Clark Gable and Van Johnson.
Miss Duffy, them Hollywood glamour dames is tired of them guys. They're crying for new blood. New good old H2O.
Ah, you're a jerk.
You certainly turn a pretty phrase. Anyways, you should talk with some of them antique characters you go out with.
Like, for instance?
Like that guy you was out with Wednesday night, that G.I. Joe from the Civil War.
Archie, he wasn't that old.
He wasn't, huh? The guy was so bent over, all he had to do was drop his arms and he'd be walking on all fours. What a romantic couple you two must make. I can just see you now sitting in the parlor and whispering sweet nothings into his ear trumpet.
Well, age ain't everything. It so happens that he's very sweet and kind and very affectionate, the way he holds my hand.
Well, he's got to. If he ever lets go, he'll fall flat on his face. Don't compare that guy to Marie McDonald.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Look, leave us face it. If this girl ever did say she'd marry you, you'd run. Hey, wait a minute. Are you wearing perfume?
Waft it over to you, huh? Yeah, Eddie, it's that new stuff that bachelors irregardless. Put out by Prince Machiavelli.
Now, Mr. Archer, now look, she ain't gonna think you're Santa Claus just because you smell like Christmas night.
Obviously not, but when she reads how wealthy I am in the column of my old pal Walter Winchell, she... Give me that phone. Call him now. Hello, Walter Winchell, please. Hello, Wally? Archie? Huh? Hold the line? Okay. Hello? Who's this? Mr. Winchell's secretary. Look, this is Archie of... Hold the line. Okay. Hello? Who's this? Walter? Oh, Walter the office boy. Well, look, kid, I got a scoop for the boss. Tell him that Marie McDonald, better known as the body, and that wealthy playboy Archie, better known as the wallet, are carrying on a Candlestein romance. Okay, kid, shoot it at him. Now, let's see. Who else should
I How about Hedda Hopper?
Oh, yeah. Your pal. Hello? Well, Hedda? Hiya, kid. What are you wearing on your Hedda these days? Yeah, this is Archie. How did you know? Well, look, Hedda, I got an item for you. Beauteous Marie McDonald is nuts about what wealthy bistro owner?
Beauty and the bistro manager.
quiet, Eddie. Hedda, well, look, you might just mention that we have been seen around town dancing the rumba cheek to cheek. Well, thanks, Hedda.
Miss Archer, if you like this Marie McDonald, why don't you cut out this big shot stuff and just be yourself?
You can't do that, Eddie. You see, you and me, love me for what I am.
We do?
Yeah, but for a movie star, I gotta play it big, which gives me an idea. Hey, Finnegan. Look, I want Marie McDonald to think I got a lot of dough, so when she gets here, run down to Cohen's Candy Store.
Cohen's Candy Store.
And call me up.
Call you up, yeah.
Yeah, and make out like you're me broker.
Stock or porn?
Stock, Block. And hurry up. Don't stand there waiting for the brain to come in. Here she comes. Here she comes now. Look at her there, Eddie.
Hmm? Yeah, she's sure as pretty as a picture.
Yeah. Get a load of that frame. Good evening. I take it that you're...
Marie McDonald.
Yes. It's a very nice thing to be, too. Well, Miss McDonald, welcome to Duffy's Tavern.
Well, thank you. I'm supposed to meet someone here named Archie.
A tall, handsome, distinguished-looking gentleman, very wealthy?
Yes.
I'm he.
You? You're Archie?
You sound incredible. What did you expect to find? Some bum?
That's just it. I didn't. Your letter said you were very wealthy.
So?
Then how do you happen to be working in a place like this?
I'm eccentric. Besides, this tavern was left to me years ago by the will of me great grandpater. You know me. That's me, Pater, twice removed. But enough talk on an empty stomach. Would you care to partake of some cuisine?
Well, I can't stay very long.
Oh, just for dinner.
Who'll drive me home?
The dinner will.
Please, back to the kitchen and get Miss McDonald some food. Well, Marie, leave us talk about us. Tell me, honey, you got any hobbies?
Ooh, well, I like swimming and money and football and money and baseball and money.
Baseball, huh? Okay, baby, leave us start pitching. Let me take a look at you. Honey, how would you like to have your neck choking with Tekla pearls?
Hmm.
How would you like to have them gams of yours swathed in nylons? How would you like to have your whole body covered over... No, that'd be kind of silly. Excuse me. Hello? Hello, Finny. Excuse me, Marie, it's me, Broker, calling from the curb. How are you, J.P.? Yes, this is A. Listen, J.P., I want you to buy me 10,000 shares of DD&T. Well, hold on to the Sears Roebuck, but sell out on maternity ward. Look, J.P., keep it kind of quiet. I don't want the bears to know that I've gone bull. That's all, J.P., and don't call me again. I'm in conference. Now, where was we, Marie? Honey, I love you.
Are you trifling with my emotions?
Not yet, but I'm leading up to it. Now, look, baby, leave us face it. You and me was meant for each other, and I... Excuse me. Hello? Now, look, J.P., I told you not to call me. What? U.S. Motors just merged with Cucamonga Kappa? Well, quick, buy 2,000 shares of preferred and 3,000 shares of ordinary life. Okay, P.J. Now, look, baby,
Archie, I'm afraid I'm taking you away from your business.
My business? Means nothing to me, honey. Stick with me and I'll give it to you. Hello? Look, J.P., I told you not to bother me again. Now, as I was saying, Marie, Listen, you dopey lunkhead. Oh, excuse me, Duffy. I thought it was another lunkhead. Wait a minute. I'm kind of busy right now. Huh? I should get off the phone and clean the tin cans out of the back room? Okay, thanks, old man.
Get off the phone and clean the tin cans out of the back room.
It's a Wall Street code.
Oh.
Means I should get rid of Albuquerque Tell and Tell and clean up with Universal Can. Now, look, honey, you and me could make beautiful music together. Or am I alone in my thinking?
Well, nobody's crowding you.
Maybe I ain't made myself clear. Marie, I'm talking about you and me walking down the bridal path. I assume that surely the feeling must be nuptial.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Archie. Are you asking for my hand?
Well, yeah, but it's understood, of course, that the rest of you goes with it. What do you say, Marie? Will you marry me?
Archie? Yes.
What was that again?
Yes, I'll marry you.
Well, that's fine. Holy cat, I'm talking about the preliminaries, and she wants to get right into the main bout. Marie, don't you think I'm kind of rushing things, though?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm a kind of a guy who believes in long engagements.
How long?
Oh, 10 or 15 years.
Oh, I couldn't wait that long, darling. Let's get married right away. Let's go out right now and buy a big diamond engagement ring.
Oh, yeah.
And then we can go on a nice, long honeymoon on one of your yachts.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and move into our beautiful big mansion.
Yeah.
You're happy, aren't you, dear?
Yeah.
Oh, I must call Mother and tell her the news. Where's the phone booth?
Right over there. Here's a slug. Holy cat, am I in a jam? Miss Duffy. Miss Duffy, look, you got to help me get an annulment. Now, here's what I want you to do. Oh, Finnegan, I'm glad you're back.
Gosh, what'd you hang up on me for? We were just starting to make a fortune.
Yeah, but we got to lose it quick. Now, here's what I want you and Miss Duffy to do.
Yeah.
Come here, Eddie, take over for a minute, will you?
Okay. If a body meets the body coming through the rye, it wins the body. Can't imagine why.
Thank you.
got a confession to make to you. I hate to say this, honey, but I can't marry you. I've just been toying with your heart.
Archie, you mean you're a cad?
To the core. You see, the truth is I'd like to marry you, but I can't on account of my family.
Oh, well, your mother and father can come and live with us.
My wife, too?
Your wife?
Yep, that's my problem, Marie. I'm fought over by two women. What am I going to do?
Well, if you love me, you can't love her. So, therefore...
Please, the situation is confused enough without simplifying it. Hey, wait a minute. Duck, quick. Here she comes now.
Woman who is breaking up my home, who is driving me to desperation. Oh, how can you be so cruel, so wicked, so heartless? See, that's a pretty dress you're wearing.
Archie, this is your wife?
Yep.
Haven't you got a better reason for not marrying me?
Yes, I have.
Hello, Daddy.
And there it is, Marie. My son, my son.
Just a second. How old are you, Archie?
My last birthday?
Yes.
28.
28?
Well, I'm prematurely old.
And how old are you, little boy?
32.
But that makes you 4 years older than your father.
How do we get out of this one, Pop?
It's simple. You see, Marie, Clifton, my son here, was an incubator baby, and some jerky intern turned up the heat too high, and it aged him very quick.
Don't look much like your father.
No? I guess that's because I was born out of town.
So, Marie, you see, this is my family. There, you have it in a nutshell.
I couldn't think of a more appropriate place. But, Archie, I still want you.
Daddy, did you tell Miss McDonald you was wiped out in the stock market?
Wiped out? Son, wherever did you hear this terrible news?
Well, Arch, I was a stockbroker, wasn't I?
Finnegan!
Oh, so that's it, is it? Oh, I'm getting out of this place, and fast.
Wait a minute, Marie, where are you going?
Back to my husband, you can!
Back to... How can people be that deceitful?
Daddy, can I have a new yo-yo for Christmas?
Ah, shut up.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
There he is, Ed Gardner as Archie from Duffy's Tavern. When we return, it's Jack Webb from radio and television's Dragnet fame as Jeff Regan, investigator, as Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
And welcome back to Yesteryear, the best from the golden age of radio. Next, it's Jeff Regan, investigator. Jeff Regan, investigator, aired over the CBS West Coast Network from July through December of 1948, and featured Jack Webb of radio and television Dragnet fame as a poorly paid detective employed by Anthony J. Lyon. On today's program, Jeff Regan is sent to find a sweater in an alley which contains the solution to a racehorse swindle. From November of 1948, it's the guy from Grower Gulch, Jeff Regan, investigator, on this edition of Yesteryear.
My name's Regan. I get 10 a day in expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb as Jeff Regan, the Lion's Eye, stand by for hard-boiled action and mystery and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of the guy from Gower Gulch.
It's a gray building, about the color of moldy bread. It's an apartment house in the middle of Hollywood, and it figures that the guy who built it quit voting when they named the street it sits on, Taft Avenue. My place is furnished with war surplus from the Spanish-American War. Well, it's got a hat rack, and that's where I live, number 308. In back, where you get a view and some fresh air from the alley. One's about as bad as the other. But I got it fixed up kind of nice. Hot plate, coffee pot, an autographed picture of Sally Rand that somebody left there. Only mistake I made was putting in a telephone. It spoils a lot of things.
Regan, it's the Lion. Wake up. We got a job.
Why don't you sleep at night?
Lucky for you, I got insomnia. We'd go broke.
Try Ovaltine. What kind of a job?
How should I know? Get your clothes on.
What are you doing, reading the want ads?
I got a note from a client.
You mean you got money?
$100 is all. Says he'll match it if we run him an errand.
Where to? Santa Ana Canyon?
He'll tell you.
You know, you got morals like a cash register. Can he write his name?
Davy Crockett. He's 50 years old.
Well, he's a little old for cowboys and Indians, isn't he?
That's his name, Davy Crockett.
Well, when's the wagon train pull out?
Regan, I don't know how I stand for you. Get over there.
Get where?
Listen, a guy works pretty hard. Building up a business like I have takes a lot out of him.
You got plenty on tap.
I just want you to understand, that's all. Money doesn't grow on trees. Now, sometimes you gotta play your hunches.
Like George Gallup.
This time I got a feeling the guy's okay. He writes like a gentleman, Regan. I want you to treat him like one.
But where do I find him?
He's in a location can give us a lot of business.
Where?
The city jail.
Yeah, that's the Lion. Born under the sign of the dollar. Well, it happened on Monday night, and I found the Lincoln Heights jail looking real tired after a rough weekend. They were putting fresh creosote on the walls in front of the drunk tank, and the guy at the desk looked like he'd burst his radiator if anybody phoned for another reservation. It was about 1 a.m., but after a couple of jokes I know about alligators, Sergeant Gonzalez hauled out a drawer with some cards in it. Under C, he found it. Full name, David Crockett. Cell 273, solitary. Gonzalez walked me through a couple of corridors, and then he opened his cell and let me inside. Davy Crockett was there, awake and standing up. He was about 4 feet high, skinny, with a head like a sunburned turnip. He had blue veins roaming all over his nose and a handlebar mustache to hold him up. He looked at me like I was holding the fifth ace.
Howdy, stranger.
My name's Regan, International Detective Bureau.
How do I know? Start anything and I'll set up a racket.
Now, I work for the Lion. You called him.
Maybe yes, maybe no. You got credentials?
Where do you want them?
Easy, son. Not talking to an amateur. Flyweight champion, Buenos Aires, 29. Grab yourself a squat, partner.
What are you so nervous about?
Nothing. Be cautious, that's all.
All right, look, let's start at the beginning, shall we? What are you locked up for?
Fire plug. Got them in the dangest places in this burg.
What'd you do, steal it for your dog?
No. Parked my landlady's car alongside it while I ran an errand.
You don't get jugged for traffic tickets.
There were two cops. Looked like a posse. I don't like injustice.
All right, resisting arrest, is that all?
What more do you want? Told you I'm not a man to be trampled with. Taught judo in Tokyo, 34.
The Japs still lost the war.
Sit still, Regan. You're working.
On what?
Well, it's just another errand. It's not much.
Well, come on, let's pick up the tempo, will you? My bicycle's double parked.
Say, you ever get saddle sores on a bicycle? I did once. 8-day race.
Yeah, I know. Now, what about this errand?
Little package wrapped up in a sweater. In the alley, by the ash can.
Go on.
I calculate I dropped it about 3.5 feet to the left of the big ash can.
By accident?
Man can't fight with his hands full. I'll get down the address for you here.
All right. What's in that sweater you didn't want the cops to see?
A polecat.
It fits the rest of your story, yeah.
Son, there's nothing in the life of Davy Crockett won't stand inspection. When you get the package, check it in at the Union Station.
And then what?
Save me the stub. You get 100.
Save it for bail. You could do this job yourself.
Thought I told you, sonny. I like to be lonesome.
So you had him lock you up on purpose?
No, I just like it here. You want a reference? Check any of the boys in Gower Gulch.
Movie cowboy, huh?
Laddie, you're looking at the greatest jockey since Paul Revere. Eddie Sand to Eddie Arcaro. I beat them all. Kentucky Downs, 39.
Yeah, sure. Well, a job's a job, Davy, but I got a hot tip where I fit in.
Where's that?
Trailing the field. Well, I left the little man running his fingers through an old copy of Variety, and I went out into the street. It was about 3 o'clock, and a truck was throwing some water out and giving the gutter a shampoo. I picked up my car and started out to play retriever. That's when I spotted the blonde tailing me. She was using a 37 Packard, and the top was down. I could see her in the mirror. I could tell she had yellow hair like a rag doll. It took a few fast turns to get rid of her, but then I was solo when I pulled to a stop by the alley off Gower. Was in back of some old movie studios. About then, a drunk came pouring down the street, did a loop around a fire plug at the head of the alley, and sat down. He was the talented kind, and I figured he thought I was Arthur Godfrey. Well, I scrambled over some broken beer bottles looking for the sweater. It finally showed, lying beside a pack of newspaper and some dame's torn petticoat. That's when the drunk lost his tilt and began looking at me. I picked up an old shoe, I wrapped it in a newspaper, and I started out of the alley. The drunk went back to his audition, moving toward me.
Dawn is breaking, Marie, you'll soon be waking. Hi, friend, have a drink.
That's not my brand.
Don't be a mug. A little drink between friends is real nice.
We haven't been introduced.
My name's Maxwell. What's yours?
Slipped my mind.
That's the trouble with the whole world. No fellowship. Except for my girl, Marie. You know Marie?
No, I don't.
Sort of short and plump, a little sinus trouble.
It's too bad.
Thought you might have met her. Lots of fellowship in that girl. Every time you look, another fella.
All right, move it, buddy.
Now, you don't want to get by me. Friends, you want to stand right there and have a little drink.
You got the subject we're going to talk about?
Yeah, sure. What's in the package?
Dirty laundry.
Ain't that funny, though. I just got me a new Bendix.
Why don't you go into business?
That's what I'm going to do. You're my first customer.
No, I lux my dainties.
Don't go away, friend. I ain't through with my sales talk.
Well, hire a skywriter.
Hold up, I said.
Get your hands off of me.
All right, Regan, the round's over.
Yeah, what makes you the referee?
This does. Reconsider, Regan. It'll make you happy.
All right, what do you want?
The package.
You heard what he said, smart guy.
Why don't you work for it?
Heavy, Max. Don't leave, Regan. We're not finished.
I got the package, Red.
Give him a tip for picking it up.
Sure. Guess I overpaid him.
Well, it was easy to see. It was their play. I had about as much chance as a midget in a basketball game. The muscles ambled off with the package that they took from me, and I crawled back for that sweater. It was still there, wrapped around something hard and round. When I ripped it off, a shine caught my eyes. It was a metal can of movie film, and the word Peru was marked on it. Not much for all the hush-hush, but it must have had a story. Well, I looked up a friend of mine who owned a camera shop, and I made a commotion with a $5 bill. That shook the sand out of him, and he rented me a projector with sound. The Lion's House was the next stop. We threw up a sheet on the wall and turned on the film. That completed the night. We had a trip to a good neighbor without a passport.
Wonders
turned out to be a Joan Fitzpatrick giving us some kind of a travelogue.
One of the most colorful in the world. A temple of worship. Home of Peru, 2,000 years old.
Get me up to see a movie.
Well, stop screaming, will you? It's free.
You know I can't stand movies. I got sore eyes.
All right, shut up and listen to this.
Peru, the marketplace. A street vendor dressed in gay native costume, selling delicacies to Peruvian children. beads and jewels of exquisite beauty wrought by the hands of master Peruvian artisans. Horse racing, an innovation from the modern world. And native dance.
I'm going to bed.
You won't sleep. I stole your eyeshade.
Oh, Regan, I gotta get up early. I got lots to do.
It'll keep.
A veritable symphony of motion. And so, it's with heavy heart we say adieu to lovely Peru, land of the Peruvians, land of charm and enchantment. And with the setting sun, we take our leave.
Well, what'd you get out of it?
A headache.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in the morning.
No, I can't wait.
What you doing now?
I'm phoning the city jail.
Looking for a room?
Looking for information. Davey will supply it.
You've been drinking.
Now listen, Big Shot. Somebody's after this film for some reason. I'm going to find it.
City jail. Sergeant Gonzalez speaking.
Danny, it's Regan.
Oh, hiya, Regan. I'm glad you called. I just got that joke about the alligators.
Yeah, well, do me a favor, will you?
Sure, pal, sure. Say, I told it to the lieutenant. He's still laughing. You know, it may earn me a promotion, pal.
Let me talk to Davy Crockett.
Oh, I can't do that, Regan.
Well, you can say I'm his lawyer.
Well, it's not that, pal. He's not here anymore.
What do you mean?
Some guy bailed him out 20 minutes ago. When I was telling the lieutenant the joke, this guy in the briefcase comes in, slaps down the bail. Out walks your friend.
He said he liked it there.
Yeah, Davey must have changed his mind.
Where'd he go?
Not very far. Just over to the morgue.
Well, the cowboy from Gower Gulch had spun his last yarn. Gonzalez told me that somebody had shot Crockett as soon as he hit the street. Oh, none of this made sense. The phony job, the blonde who tailed me, the fight in the alley, the corny movie. Well, the lion shoved the film in a desk, and I went out the door. I cut across his yard, but I stopped on the opposite sidewalk. My car wasn't alone. It was a 40-foot Nash sniffing at its rear fender.
Hey, Regan.
Well, Maxwell, you look different. Did you take the cure?
Shut up. Somebody wants to see you.
If it's Marie, tell her my book's full.
Thought you might like a lift.
No, I got a friend who runs a streetcar. Now, go on, beat it.
Regan, don't be that way.
Offer him a panatella, Maxwell.
Who's this, your father-in-law?
You smoke, Regan?
No, it might explode.
Yeah.
So long.
Hold it, Buster. Get in.
Oh, Max. Max, I told you before, you're on probation.
That's all right. Don't pick on him, teacher. He didn't hurt me.
Get in front, Max.
Sure.
Where's your other boy, Red? We could play some bridge.
I thought he'd do better in the shoe business.
The one I gave him didn't fit, huh?
I'm a much misunderstood man, Mr. Egan. I'm sure you'll put your best foot forward.
I'd love to.
My card. Horace Grundy. Sometime earlier, a little man called me, Mr. Regan. Custer, or Boone, or...
Davy Crockett?
Of course. I want you to understand I get many such calls.
Party line.
It's a private number, but the salesmen bother me anyway.
Well, it's tough to be popular. Davy tell you what he was selling?
No.
Well, he didn't tell me either.
Have it your own way. When I told him I'd meet him, he said he'd arranged to get out of jail. He said all he wanted was a job.
And he got one.
Yes, only there's no future to it. I wouldn't want anything like that happening to you, Mr. Regan.
I'll renew my insurance.
No, you'll come with me. It's more friendly.
Suppose I don't like to talk.
You won't have to, if everything goes all right.
Well, it's your taxi.
And you're paying the fare. All right, Maxwell. Cloverfield.
I never knew a guy could say the name of an airport and make it sound like Forest Lawn. Grundy sat in the corner checking the manicure on his fingernails, and Maxwell drove out Olympic. By the time we skidded into Clover, I'd figured absolutely nothing. It was still only 4 a.m., but there was a string of cars parked in the lot. I spotted a 37 Packard Roadster, but I was too busy getting rushed up onto the field to look for the blonde. Besides, the faster we ran, the more excited Grundy got.
Hey, Mr. Grundy.
And then we rounded the hangar, and the reporters hit us.
Say, Louis B.'s pretty sore, huh?
No, no. Louis B. and I are friends. Just his plugs are burned. Let us through, boys.
Hey, wait a second. This Julio who's traveling on the plane, they say he wants $250,000. You're going to pay him today?
After I see a workout. Come on, Regan, let's go.
Yeah, you're a real big man, Grundy.
I'm going to be, Regan. El Romano, best rip of any horse in South America.
So that's it, huh? Where the ruins come from.
What's that?
Peru.
Oh, sure. Peruvian National Airways gave Julio a special plane. Everything special.
Like in the movies. Well, look, suppose you watch him unload. I'll take a back seat here.
Oh, no, Regan. This is a big day. I want you to see what... What's the ambulance for?
Well, don't look at me.
Stick around, Regan. It could be you.
Open up the door, Joe.
Romano.
Help me.
Hey, get that stretcher over there.
Oh, he kicked me. Hit me. Kick me.
It's Julio.
The guy who owns him?
Must be.
I tried to hold him. The holder break. Oh, my ribs.
Take it easy, boy. We got you.
What happened?
Bounce. The landing, she is rough. That is all. Where is the doctor?
You're going to the hospital. Lie down.
Oh, I'm broken in 6 places.
Lift up the stretcher. Come on, boys. Hurry it up.
Oh, he kicked me. Move fast, boys. Yes, hospital.
Hey, Mr. Grundy, the horse!
Well, the guy from the plane started to yell just about the time they took Julio toward the rear of the ambulance. Grundy took a dive for the cargo door, and so did everybody else. And then I had to stand there while 6 feet of Big Shot Cigar turned into a crybaby.
Look, Regan, look at the horse's leg. He's kicked himself.
Okay, so he's clumsy.
But he might not run again. He was going to be mine, Regan.
That's too bad. Call a vet.
I have already paid $50,000 retainer on the horse, Regan.
I'll send you a lawyer.
I got an idea. You're connected with this.
Oh, dry up, Buster. It's an accident.
Yeah? I got an idea there's going to be another accident.
Yeah, Grundy. Maybe you're right.
Go!
Hey,
stop him!
I didn't wait to see if he went down. Maxwell swung, but I took off through the crowd. I figured that Cloverfield wasn't for me, and I wasn't going to stick around for the daisy. Then I spotted a ride, the rear end of Julio's ambulance. I made it just as the buggy started to move. I pulled the door shut and tried not to step on that stretcher inside. I shouldn't even have bothered that. The stretcher was empty. The only patient was me.
You are listening to the story of the guy from Gower Gulch. Tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now back to Jeff Regan, investigator, and the story of the guy from Gower Gulch.
Well, things were beginning to move like a hula dancer with a hot foot. Davy Crockett sent me out to pick up a roll of movie film. A Joan Fitzpatrick travelogue on beautiful Peru. There was something in it that was hot, but Crockett got himself plugged before he could say what it was. There were shots of a horse race in Peru. And when a big buster named Grundy turns up buying a nag from a Peruvian breeder, I figured a connection. So did Grundy. When the horse got hurt and Julio did a disappearing act with his money, everybody looked at me. That's when I took the shortest way to Hollywood in an ambulance, got my car, and made it for home. Only parked up the street from my apartment was that same 37 Packard Roadster I'd been dodging all evening. The blonde wasn't in it. She was sitting in my place looking real hopeful.
Good evening. You keep late hours, Mr. Regan.
That's the kind of friends I've got.
Perhaps you ought to change them.
I'll stick it out. What do you want?
A little chance to talk to you.
It'll keep till morning.
Oh, but Mr. Regan, I've been waiting so long, you've got to talk to me now.
Why?
I'm Davy Crockett's wife. You've got something that belongs to me.
I don't see any wedding ring.
I don't wear one.
Scare off the other boys?
That's not a very nice remark, Mr. Regan.
No, but you'll let it go.
Only because it's not important.
Oh, stop it. You're not Davy's wife. If the little guy had anybody he could trust, he wouldn't have had to call in the lion.
All right, Mr. Regan. I lied.
Now, let's have it, lady. What are you after?
The roll of film.
That figures.
It's mine.
Convince me.
Mr. Regan, you're becoming very annoying.
Why don't you call the police?
But I tell you, it is mine.
Let's see the pink slip.
And so it is with heavy heart we bid adieu.
That's enough. Yeah. I thought I knew that voice.
Davy stole the roll from my library. Now may I have it back?
Homicide will turn it over to you when they're ready.
I can't wait.
Well, what makes it so valuable?
I'm not sure.
Then how do you know it is?
Because I'm not stupid, Mr. Regan. Somebody goes to a lot of trouble to break into my film library. But he only steals one roll of film.
Go on.
I put the police on, Davy. Follow them to the jail. So you go after the film. That adds up to pretty important business.
Did you push those holes in Davy?
Of course not.
Now, you're going to get a chance to prove that when homicide starts speaking in your cupboard.
About the film, I'll buy it from you.
No sale. There's the door, lady. Use it. I threw the light switch and grabbed for the floor. When the noise stopped, I looked up. My landlady was going to be mad. The shots plowed a few holes into her flower pot. The blonde turned a couple of different colors and decided she could find safer company. She left with a fire escape without even goodbye. Well, I headed for the Lions. The idea being to make sure that he'd turn that film over to the police and advertise that I didn't have it anymore. That figured to cool me off and I could catch some sleep again. When I got there, the lion looked kind of excited. He was wrapped up in a silk robe with red and gray stripes, and he carried a drink to match. He was holding a piece of that movie film up to the light.
Hey, Regan, I've been calling all over for you. Where you been?
I'm looking for a bed.
I don't pay you to sleep. You're on a job. Now, I've been thinking since you left. We're handling this wrong.
Yeah, now that's what I figure. Get on the phone.
What for?
To tell Homicide you got a package for him. You're turning over that film right now.
Easy, Regan.
You heard me, Big Shot. I'm tired of playing the fall guy.
Now, Regan, you don't know what you're saying. I've been running over the section on that Peruvian horse race. Look at this clip.
Looks like a horse.
But look at him. He's way out in front. El Romano. Now, here's the way I add it up. This film tells a story, or everybody wouldn't be grubbing around for it.
Well, now that takes a big brain.
So somebody's engineering a phony.
Who?
That's what you're going to find out. That nag's insured by Banner Trust, and they pay off big if we can turn up the swindle.
Give me that picture.
Where you going?
Over to Grundy's to check the horse.
Now you're talking, Regan. And if you don't, you'll be collecting your unemployment insurance.
Well, the payoff's about the same. I didn't like it any better than a fan dancer likes a wind tunnel. I'd already seen enough of Grundy and his boys for one night, but when the lion gets an idea, he's like a hangman with a new rope. So I went out to test it. I found Horace Grundy's place. It was a bright new house in the San Fernando Valley. There was some fancy fence in back, and a stable looked like the paint was still wet where it said El Romano. A trailer was parked on the road with a truck from the veterinarians. When Grundy opened the front door, he looked like he'd been sitting a three-day wake, but without any beer.
Hello, Regan.
What's the verdict?
It's bad, Regan. Tendons torn. Never run.
I knew somebody else liked the animals. A guy from Gower Gulch.
Decided to talk?
Maybe.
What else did Crockett say?
Now you got him on the wheel.
All right, you drive.
That's better. You know the horse is insured?
Not by me, it isn't.
Well, now, if it wasn't for the accident, you would have coughed up another $200,000.
What difference does it make? The whole deal's a bust now.
What if that horse is a phony?
You had pictures?
I wouldn't advertise him, but there's a shot of a horse winning a race. Take a look here.
Give me that.
All right, it's economy size. You're going to ruin your eyesight.
I got a magnifying glass for my income tax.
Well, let's get a light behind it. Let's see.
Four white feet.
I can do that well myself.
Horse in the stable's got three.
That does it. My boss gets promoted.
Come on. Come on outside. I'll show you.
No, I'll take your word for it. Let go of me. I got my information.
Max. Maxwell, where are you?
I told you, don't whistle the bulldogs.
You're in it now, Regan. You're on my side.
All right, drop your blood pressure. There's a handkerchief on the play.
Hey, wait. Good morning.
Pan America.
Si. I'm Julio. Is Mr. Grundy?
No, it's the guy with his mouth open there.
How do you do? I'm so glad to meet and talk.
Choke it.
Eh?
You switched horses.
No. You're not understand. El Romano, he kicked me.
Wait for the encore.
Mr. Grundy, with belief, I'm telling you.
Now, look, you better make it fast, Julio. This guy goes
Shut
off.
Shut up, Regan. A man trades a stretcher for a slab. Let him talk.
Julio is honest. A debt comes first. When El Romano hurts himself, I know the deal is off. I know I must see the consul, so we cash the check.
What?
Here we are. 10,000, 20, 30, 40, 50. Your down payment is up. Now we are one big happy United Nations, no?
Well, that's what happened. Now there were two guys with their mouths open. By the time we got them closed, the little gent from Peru had waddled off someplace, and Grundy folded his money and started to laugh. He was happy, and at least I had what I came for. Figured I could dump the whole plate of spaghetti on the lion. The lead horse in the travelogue was a different nag from the one in the stable. So I got in my car and headed for home. But I picked up a newspaper on the corner, and then the whole bucket turned upside down again. The green sheet was loaded with publicity shots of El Romano from South America, and he was exactly the same oat burner that came in on the plane, feet and all. No switch there. Well, if there was something phony in this act, it was that winner in that Fitzpatrick film. Well, for a minute, I felt like a test pilot in a yo-yo factory, and then the string broke. I took a fast run to the Lions and one more look at those movies. I had it. The case was beginning to wind. 10 minutes later, I was back on Gower Gulch. Regan, you alone?
Don't be insulting.
I'll open the door. What's the matter? You're slow.
What do you want?
Ask me in.
No.
Ask me in.
Regan, look out!
Be careful, Regan. I have a gun.
Well, Julio.
Yes, Julio.
What are you doing here?
Well, I told you.
I know. Back at my place, you're aiming at her, not me. She's been to Peru. She has the films. You knew that.
You whistle like a noise.
I go to the movies like everybody else. I keep my eyes on the winner. After Hollywood Park, I should have known better.
Yeah, there are lots of races.
El Romano was a dud. He came in last, 60 lengths, with Davy Crockett digging in the spurs. You gave the nag a build-up, phony publicity to the sucker and insurance company.
A quarter of a million, I was over.
Can it? You could have never closed a sale without Grundy watching a workout. That would have been a slow boat to China.
You want to be a sailor, too?
Oh, stop being tough, will you? You wore yourself out when you kicked up El Romano in that plane.
It looked good.
Yeah. Not to me or Joan.
Look out, Regan. You're asking for a daily double.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take it across the board. Give me that gun.
Leave me alone.
Drop it.
No, you're breaking my arm.
That's the idea.
I'll kick you in the stomach.
No. Oh. You better go back to his stretcher.
Well.
Yeah.
My, you can be useful.
Yeah, when I'm working.
What about after hours? I'm not bad, you know.
I never noticed.
Look again.
No, I'm all through with the ponies.
Wanna bet?
Davy Crockett told me to play my hunches.
Here I am.
Yeah, but you're a loser.
What do you mean?
You threw those holes into Davy.
It was Julio.
Oh, you're trying real hard, but he was on the plane.
What do I do now?
Well, you might bid a fond adieu to Gower Gulch.
That's not funny, Regan.
I know it, but you ran out of film. Well, the whole thing blew up like a hoop skirt in a high wind. Julio had a real good thing until he ran into the little man with a good memory and a dame with a fast trigger finger. Her blackmail pitch was already set up, but Davy figured to queer it, so she had to knock him off. Well, the hospital boys came after Julio, and homicide dated Joan, the travel queen. The lion was pretty excited about the way things worked out. He figured that the insurance company would come across with some green stuff for exposing a fraud. They did. That was the color of the season pass they gave him to the Burton Holmes travel lectures.
Jack Webb is featured as Jeff Regan with Herb Butterfield as Anthony J. Lyon. It's CBS at the same time next week for more hard-boiled action and mystery with Jeff Regan, Investigator. Written by Larry Roman and Jackson Gillis, produced by Sterling Tracy. Included in tonight's cast were Leo Clary, Clayton Post, Yvonne Patey, Ed Begley, and Herb Ellis.
From 1948, it's been Jack Webb as Jeff Regan, Investigator. Well, with that, we'll draw to a close another edition of Yesteryear. Back with you again the same time next week, where we invite you to return for more of the best of the golden age of radio. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show.
KSSR DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.